Hello and welcome back to another episode of Discipleship.ca. My name is Steve and with me today is...
Teresa.
Nice to have you here, Teresa.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us as we have another discussion with the hope, prayer, and goal of encouraging you in your daily walk of faith towards Christ-likeness as we explore scripture, faith, and Christian life, as well as talking about what Jesus is teaching us on our journeys of faith. Mm-hmm. And today we are looking at the creation story, just that concept, that idea, the reality that God is the perfect creator, right?
Mm-hmm. And the creator.
And the creator. Yeah, the perfect creator. Well, the perfect creator. Creator of the perfect creation?
What?
I don't know what I'm trying to say. One of the things, right, we wrestle with in our world, and particularly here in North America in the education system, is this wrestle between, you know, if you're a person of faith, is it intelligent design from creator?
Yeah, right.
Or is it creation by chance in evolution, you know,
right.
Big Bang, all of those kinds of things, right? And when you push Big Bang theory all the way back to the end, where do they end up? They end up saying, right, we have faith that there were these two little cells or two little particles that existed in nothing that managed somehow to hit each other and create this cavalcade of chain reactions that has got us to where we are today.
It's true, but some people that do believe that I've spoken to, and I don't know how, I'm not a scientific person, but like, working in the education system, talking to science teachers and, you know, very scientific minds, they often will say, well, something had to create those two things that started everything. Okay. So they will often admit that there was something.
And that's kind of the point is both systems, if you take them all the way back to the beginning, require faith.
Right.
Like you just require faith, because then you look at the world and you go, okay, thank you for those two particles banging together. So never since then have two particles ever banged together? Like what? Because we say that when that happens, it's an explosion and it's destructive, not an explosion that is creative.
Right.
Right. When we make particles bang together for explosions, we don't suddenly get like a building popping out of that, like, you know, or a life force or, you know, whatever, all that kind of stuff. So
my garden that way, I wish.
So both take faith, and we as followers of Christ, as people who believe the Bible, we have to go back and we have to look at the story of creation that we have been given to help us understand what God is doing, right? So we're going to go all the way back to the start. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 to start.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters.
Yeah. So there was a void and an expanse.
Mm-hmm. And darkness.
That God took something and made...
two things, you know, heaven and earth.
Ex nihilo, out of nothing, right? God created. And if you could ask God a question and get an immediate answer, what would you want to know, right, in life? Like if you had any question you could get
like me specifically
for,
or just listeners?
Yes, both.
Oh,
wow. They can't talk to me. You can. So if you had a question, what would be anything? A curious question that you have, like, why do duck-billed platypuses look like they do? Like you could have that question.
I don't though.
You could. I do.
Oh.
You could. Is the universe as still expanding?
You didn't give me a lot of warning for this.
No,
I had a lot of time to think about what would I ask.
I know
the all-knowing and all-powerful God of the universe. Know,
what is the secret of making here in Canada? The joke is always, how do they make the caramel bar, the chocolate bar? How do they?
I think I might go and ask God, being all sovereign, knew that how things were going to go.
Yep.
He knew that eventually him creating the earth and creating men and women was going to result in him sending Jesus to the cross to die.
Yeah.
And that whole thing. So I think part of me might ask him, why did he still do it?
Yep. It's a good question. And the only way that God can know the answer to any of the questions that we might have is that he has always been and he always will be. He is outside of our time. He is in the past, always there.
Yeah.
And as we think of the present, he is here.
Yeah.
And as we think of the future, he is already there.
Right.
Right? And so there's this reality that as God is creating here, he already knows what this is going to look like. He already
Absolutely.
Knows there's and that's that concept of intelligent design. And we need to understand that to believe that this creation story could actually happen. Now, the debate of how old is the earth and all of those kinds
literal
of things.
Literal days or not literal days,
sure,
all of that.
We can debate all of those things, but we're still believers.
Yeah.
Right? If we still believe that salvation comes through Jesus and the cross.
That's right.
And there are some of the aspects of the creation story that are actually
not understood.
Not necessary to be divisive about, right?
Yeah.
You know, we're going to say, as we go through some of these days, we'll see, like, things don't always happen in the order that make it easy for us to understand in what we've got today.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of sort that through. But the first part is there was nothing there.
Right.
Except for God. And then God decided, I'm going to make something.
Yep.
And here we go, right?
We are.
So we go to chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5.
And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse. No? To 5? Or 6?
To 5.
Sorry, my mistake. Yeah. Getting overeager again.
Yeah. So, to appreciate
so
light.
So, night and day.
Yeah. To appreciate light, what do you have to experience?
Darkness.
Total darkness. Right? And it's rare in our world that you can actually find total darkness. Now,
depending on where you are.
Yeah, in my younger days,
okay.
and slimmer days,
what?
Okay. I used to wiggle through little cracks in the earth and down into the ground and go into caves and spelunking and doing all sorts of stuff where you go just a few feet around the first corner, through the first little hole, and suddenly it is very,
very,
excuse me,
very dark.
Very dark. I had a reaction there to it.
You're just
but every once in a while, yeah, every once in a while,
you.
I can remember getting into a cave and everybody, like if you were with people and you would just kind of all get a spot and then you would just say, okay, like let's turn off the flashlights. Nobody look at a timing device, but we're going to look at our watch and then we're going to turn off the flashlight and we're going to try to wait, you know, 5 minutes.
I didn't love that. That
and
was
just,
not my
just
favorite.
Just enjoy the dark.
Enjoy the dark. Does anybody enjoy
and,
the dark?
And it was always crazy because we never made it 5 minutes, but it felt really long.
30
right?
seconds and people are panicking.
Yeah. Like some people straight up panic in the dark like that. Some people can sit there for a while, but you lose track of up, down, light, dark, all of that kind of stuff. Also have scuba dived in my past in the night dives. That's one of the things they said, as you go into caves and wrecks, it's like you can get totally disoriented because now you've also lost a little bit of that gravity concept pulling on you because you're floating. So you have to actually watch which way your bubbles go sometimes to figure out which way are you.
Because it's 452, why I don't scuba dive.
But that to understand the concept of light, dark, you need to actually be on both spectrums.
Right. You have to know what they both are.
You know, the world is still in a darkness, but it's spiritually now.
And
God loves the people that are still in the darkness, that spiritual darkness, and he wants them to see because of the light.
Yeah.
This is why we're called to be the light of the world, right? And in that, here we've got this creation story where God separates darkness from light and then gives us this ebb and flow to remind us that in the deepest and darkest night, when we feel the farthest away from God, when we're in the most despair, the anxiety is the worst, the light is still coming.
Mm-hmm.
And the light will push back the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And that that ebb and flow of days is actually a metaphor for us in our spiritual lives, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the creation story goes on. We're not going to go through each.
Okay. I was like, oh, this is going to be a
phase,
while. We're going to be here
together,
a while, guys.
Right? So, you know, God brings the land up out of the water and then pushes the waters under the heavens to be gathered together in one place and all of that kind of stuff. And he kind of gets the sky is built and all that. And then we get to verses 11, 12, and 13.
And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed according to its kind and on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day.
Yeah, and so right away we start to understand that every living plant is created by God, but with an entire system of reproduction in it.
Right.
Right? This wasn't just a God made an interesting looking flower and didn't have the thought process of how this was going to be for the rest of eternity. Like, how will this thing, this daisy, reproduce itself? How will this sunflower reproduce itself? How will this oak tree, pine tree, coconut tree?
All of the things. Like, of its own kind, right?
Of its own kind. So when the seed drops and goes to the ground, germinates and grows, or the nut, or whatever it might be, how does this turn into the next thing?
Mm-hmm. Which is...
And
which,
is the next thing the same as the first thing? And God determined, yes, it is.
Yes.
So there's this entire system of reproduction that God has created. And he unveils it right here in the plant world first, right? Everything is created to reproduce.
And its own kind, right? That's not, I mean, there's adaptations and stuff that happen, but it's still its own kind.
Yeah.
So even right there, when you think of... certain parts of evolution, it's directly against this account.
You can't take two cats and end up with a puppy.
Right. Like, it's just... They don't evolve that way. It doesn't work.
Not unless there's going to be some grand interference.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You know, in that thing. Yeah. But everything is created to reproduce, and that actually comes all the way forward as we're told to plant the seeds of the gospel.
Yes.
What are we going to reproduce? We're going to reproduce a Christ follower, someone who is to go on a journey with Christ in salvation and continue to look more and more like him.
Yeah.
We are destined to look like what has planted that first seed, which is Christ, right? So from there, again, we're going to skip over a few sections, but this next little bit, I was going to skip it, but now I'm not going to.
Oh, okay.
Because it's too good. Like,
First
14 and 15. Can you read those?
And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years.
Yeah.
Keep going.
15? Yeah, one more verse.
And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so.
So just to correct a misconception that most people have, God didn't create days when he separated light from darkness.
Okay.
He didn't create days until there was plants already.
Hmm.
Days happened well later, okay? So here all of a sudden we get stars. The light and the dark has been separated, but we don't have the reference to days and seasons and years and the tracking of time. Right, and this is where suddenly you realize, like, we live with a reality of something like a 24-hour clock and the stuff that we have to live with and the 12-month year and the seasons
we're bound
that are
by
in your place. Like, I know that here in Canada, the winter is cold and the summer is hot.
Yeah.
But you flip it around and you take those same months and you go to a different part of the world and their January is really, really wet and their June is super, super dry. Those are those seasons or whatever it might be. It changes where they are. But it wasn't until dark had separated from light, land had come out of the seas, the heavens water and the earth water was separated, and the plants were on the ground growing. And then God said, okay, let's have a regular rotation to this whole deal. Mm-hmm. Let's have some day and night seasons. Mm-hmm. Let's actually have that ebb and flow. And I think that's because he knew we needed that.
Yeah, for sure.
We needed that to be able to figure out what are we doing. Those moments where you sit in the dark and you turn off the flashlights and you try to just last for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It was impossible.
Hmm.
And I don't know if, you know, you read that first bit where light and dark is separated. I wasn't there. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, not that old.
But he said it's separated.
Yeah.
He didn't say that they rotated around in day and night.
Right.
But he said, here is day over here, and here is, it's almost like, you know, you separated a crowd in a large room, and you're like, I would like the men to go to this side and the ladies to go to this side, and you have them separated. It's it's like you can stand in the light and see the dark, or you can stand in the dark and see the light. I don't know how that works, but we didn't have that changing flow until we get way down here to verse 14 and 15, right?
Right.
All right. I just think it's fascinating to kind of wrap my brain around that bit. But let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We're jumping over a whole bunch of stuff.
Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
Yeah. And so then we have, you know, creation of Adam, and we understand that God says, let us make man. Well, who is he talking to? This is where we get that those first glimpses of the Trinity, right? We have the Spirit hovering over the face of the water in verse 2.
Yeah.
But now we've got, if the Spirit is Spirit and God the Father is Spirit, because when he shows up on the mountain with Moses, it's wind, fire, like it's not a man with a body, right? So here's where oftentimes people are like, how do we end up looking like we look? Well, because this is how Christ, the pre-incarnate Son, God knew this is what he would look like, right? This is what was the plan. So God creates man in his own image. In the image of God, he creates them. Male and female, he created them. That's verse 27, right? Mm-hmm. We as humans were given rule over the earth to care for it. It's very interesting, too, here. This is a part that I wonder about.
Okay.
What are we given dominion over? Fish, birds, and animals.
And creepy crawlies.
So
that's why we can squish spiders,
you know,
I guess.
Not given dominion over? The plants.
Interesting.
It's very odd to me. Like, the plants are going to do what the plant's going to do.
And that is very accurate.
You know, like, it
at least in my life.
It really doesn't matter. And, you know, and I don't know what the annoyingly persistent weed is or whatever grows where you are. But we have dandelions, little yellow flowers.
But they feed the bees.
Go everywhere.
And literally.
Like, it does not matter how hard you try to get rid of them. They will show up again.
Within minutes of
time. We cannot have dominion over them. Sadly, we do have dominion over all of those other things because we've literally made a lot of them extinct, right?
That is actually true.
We have hunted things into oblivion.
That's true.
And those ones that we want to control, we put fences up and we put them where we want them and we make them do what we want them to do. But it is really hard to control plants.
Yeah.
And it's sort of an interesting thing where you go, we have dominion over some stuff, but not everything.
Right.
Which is super interesting.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. But we as humans, we're given rule over the earth and we're to care for it. And the good question becomes, do we do that in a way? Do you do that in a way in your life that brings glory and honor to the Creator who puts you in charge of His perfect creation in those aspects? Like, I'm sitting here looking outside my window at a lake going, I'm by God told that I'm supposed to make sure that the fish are okay and that the birds are okay and the animals are okay that come to this lake.
Right.
Because it's my little area. Like, I should make this work for them somehow. This is if I want to see them later. And this is one of those things where we kind of get this idea, but why are we given that power? Why are we given that authority? Because we're in God's image.
Right.
We're different than the rest of creation.
Yeah.
We have a different authority, a different purpose, a different reason for being here.
And a different responsibility towards that.
Exactly. Yeah. Because we're made in His image. So things have to be different for us. And so there's the Adam and Eve creation story. We're going to pick this up a different week where we talk about
specifically
creation of Adam and Eve. But the reality is this world was made in perfection.
Yes, and the very last, right? God saw that everything he had made was good.
Yeah, and because all the
very good, right?
All the way through this, God said. That's how he created us, by his word. And remember, Jesus is the word from John 1. So we have this kind of nice little reality that God says plants, and the word creates it, which would be Jesus. And then at the end, it was so, and it was good, right?
Yeah.
So that's always the pronouncing. And then we get to the last little bit. We're going to look at chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation.
And here the idea is God rests, right?
Right.
In a great number of places around the world, the work week is 7 days a week. Because you have to for subsistence, right?
Right.
You've got to work hard to make sure that you have food every day. If you are making your living by, for example, fishing, you don't necessarily come back. If you're on a fishing boat out in the middle of the ocean and you're working for, you know, a month before you come back to port, well, you can either sit there and do nothing or you can fish, right? So there's like some of these things. But then even differently, if you live on what comes into your boat on the hook of your line or in the net, and you don't have enough to not fish on a Sunday or a Saturday, whatever the Sabbath is that you celebrate, then you have to get back to work to feed your family, right? And so this idea of rest is... because things are complete and things are working well, and it's the dominion that we have that actually allows us to rest.
Mm-hmm.
The way we do things with this earth allows us to rest, and we're called to rest because God rests.
Yeah.
Because it's not because he needed, it's not because he got tired, right? It's not because he, you know, needed a nap.
He knew we would.
But he knew we would.
Yeah.
He knew that we would get tired. Rest isn't a good idea for us. It's a necessity. God rested because everything was good, everything was complete, it was perfect, and he had created it to sustain. And we rest because we can't do it all.
Yeah.
We can't actually do anything that will sustain itself without our effort in getting involved. We have to get to the spot where we're okay to say, you know what, I can take a break.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to achieve and push and strive all the time because what God has given me is good.
Yeah.
God has given everything that he has for me, and it is good.
Mm.
If we were to jump all the way out to Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth."
Mm.
Right? The whole world, the whole creation points to the fact that this couldn't have just happened by accident, right?
Yeah.
There has to be a creator. There has to be an intelligent design. There has to be a process that was thoughtful behind this whole thing and for a purpose.
Yeah.
And the purpose is to make us look at the intricacies of the world and realize there is a God.
Yeah.
Right? The nature will call out to it. This is why every single tribal culture ever in the history of the world had a creator God story.
That's right.
Because we look at even the most primitive culture, will look at the world around them and say, somebody made this.
Yeah.
And yet now in our intelligence, in our world, we say, no, nobody made this. And it's an offense to God. And that's why one of these things that we need to do as believers is hold so firmly to the fact that God created, he had a purpose.
Yeah.
And that purpose was to display his creativity, his glory, his power, his sovereignty. And so, remember that.
Yeah. Well, guys, thanks for joining us for a conversation today. If you have enjoyed the podcast, you can always subscribe, leave a like or comment on our social streams, or even tell others about us. We appreciate any help in getting connected to people who are interested. As always, you can find us online at discipleship.ca and on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great day, and I hope you can join us next time.
Till next time.